Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, or should I say, yeah, good afternoon. This is Getting It Done, and I'm your host, Dr. Walter Dean. We normally broadcast on Mondays and Fridays. However, I broadcasted, I think it was Saturday, because of the death of Jesus Christ, and he was laying in the tomb at that particular time on that Saturday. And I thought it would be appropriate for us to have a special show about who he was. So we're going to go on, and Monday is our discussion time. We have a show on Friday. Normally it has been jazz. We have a jazz session, but there have been a lot of people talking to us and telling us that they don't like the way the sound is coming through for the jazz. We tried everything we could, and I guess at best we have a rating of about a 78. On the other show, we have a rating of a 98, where we're just talking, or people are talking. Not necessarily myself, but people. So thank you for the positive comments for Mondays, and hopefully we can do something about Friday. If not, the show will change. We will have nothing but talk shows because I can't get a better sound quality. Today, we have a discussion that took place in 1987 about African origins. And let's give a listen to what is being stated.
My name is Lee Mays, and it's my privilege this evening to serve as moderator for the program. We have two very special guests. One is Dr. Yosef Ben-Nachanan, who is an African anthropologist, an educator, an author, and a scholar. He's on my right, and on my left is Dr. George Simmons. Dr. Simmons is also a professor. He was born in St. Croix, Virgin Islands, USA. And we will discuss a number of topics this evening. These gentlemen are here to talk about African origins. As you know, in America, Black History Month is celebrated every February. Without further ado, let's get right into it, because I know they have some interesting viewpoints that will stimulate your thinking, even if you disagree with them or agree. I'm going to call you Dr. Ben, okay, because that's what people usually call you.
Yes.
One of the more controversial positions that you take is that Black Africans landed in America 2,000 years before Columbus.
I would not specify the day, but probably exceeding 2,000 years. The fact is that Columbus never came to the United States of America or North and South America. He came as close as San Salvador. There's a rumor that says that Columbus came to America. He did not come to America. He came to an island off America. Vespucci came to America, not Columbus. He came to the Caribbean. But it is commonly stated, just as much as they state, that Columbus discovered America while the Indians sat down watching bridge. Now, but all the knowledge of Africans in the Americas, quite knowledgeable to scholars, the fact that it's suppressed doesn't have any validity at all.
Let me bounce a couple of things off of you. One thing, this article I'm going to be referring to our home audience and to our studio audience, this article came out in the September 1981 issue of Science Digest, and it's entitled Black Kings in Ancient America. You and some other black scholars believe that these people, African people, came to this continent before Columbus. You don't believe you know. How do you know?
The evidence is there. For example, when you go to Central America, the Yucatan Peninsula, and at Ecuador and places like that, they have caches of Carthaginian money found 200 feet down in the ground, meaning that there were fluvial disruptions, and those money was buried. So it indicates a period of time at least. From that, when you look at the stratas, you could tell the period of time in which they've been here. And when you're talking about Carthage, you're talking about at least 212 BC when Carthage was finally destroyed by the Romans. Again, the Queen Makeda, which you call the Queen of Sheba, there are maps which Rome, the church in Rome, the so-called Holy Father, has suppressed these maps from the time of Justinian, showing South America and what is today called Central America. The maps there and Victoria, I mean, I'm sorry, Makeda goes back to at least 892 B.C.
Before Christ.
Before, let me point out another thing, just from the same article. I don't know if you can see this on television. But here is, if you tell me what this is, and why do we see this as proof of the presence of Africans in America before? That is the head of an Olmec. And the Olmecs were said to be the first of the indigenous Americans. And if you look, if an Olmec walked in here, then you would believe that he had come from the middle of Africa. And there is no doubt about it that all of the writers prior to racism admitted that the Olmecs were, in fact, Africans who had come across here. There is no doubt. When Tenochtitl and others, the point is that Van Sotoma is writing and others, but Leo Rainer, in 1938 at Harvard University, wrote a two-volume book for which he was fired about the Africans, as Olmecs being Africans.
And let me bounce this off of you, okay? You take the same statue.
Mm-hmm.
You say, well, you say that they're obviously black creatures, thick lips, broad nose,
the stereotype.
Okay, other anthropologists say, I think Michael Cole is one of them. He says that this is not a black man. He said the people who made these statues, as I understand, are 8 feet high. The people who made these statues didn't have sharp enough tools to give them white features, so they're not really black statues. They're white people carving crude tools. What's your response to that?
It's strange that the tools were not sharp enough to make narrow noses, but it was sharp enough to put eyelids. So it would seem to me that an eyelid is harder to make than a thin nose. But Michael Cole is no less a racist than the head of the Ku Klux Klan. I mean, what's the difference between Michael Cole Reagan and the Ku Klux Klan? It has the same philosophy. What is the difference between the fellows writing the Bible and writing about the Queen of Sheba saying to Solomon, look not, ye daughters of Cain, look not upon me because I'm black. My parents sent me the wine run and that's all this nonsense. She's black because nature made her black. Her mother and father were black. That's why she's black. I'd love to give a woman a wine run, even though it's in the Bible.
Okay, you talk about religion. Let me get to that in a while. Let me turn to Dr. Simmons. You also agree with the solution that Africans weren't in this
country. No doubt.
So, as a matter of fact, speaking about that Dr. Ben mentioned, and you spoke about Michael Nepo, I own a book several years ago and still have it in my possession by Michael Nepo himself, who is considered one of America's leading archaeologists and anthropologists from Yale, one of America's most prestigious schools. In his own work, he referred to them as Negroid. And he went on to say the title of the book is America's First Civilization. What you call civilization. And to turn around and to tell these youngsters and other people in America in particular that the black man was the first to build any type of civilization in the Americas would be disturbing to Americans. And so,
let me ask you this. Even if you're right, let's say you're right, what difference does it make?
It makes a lot of difference.
What kind of difference?
It takes the inferiority context out of the black man who felt that his only beginning and relationship here in this part of the world is that of slavery. Then it puts him in the driver's seat because, again, they don't tell you that there are man-made hills within the United States. They call them mountains. And they range from in the Midwest all the way down the eastern seacoast of the United States. And they have found artifacts in them that are similar to things found in West Africa and in Egypt, which is Northeast Africa, that predates the arrival of the so-called indigenous Indians in these lands. Another thing is some years ago, one of the major television networks back in New York, I don't remember exactly which one, ABC or which, had did a documentary, and they said that these elements are the ones who brought right into the Americas about 3000 B.C. To tell blacks that they ought to be glad to enter into these schools that I learned today in order to read and write, because their ancestors back in Africa couldn't read and write. You can see how what it will do to tell them that they brought right into their narratives. Antonio Pettigrew, the Dr. Ben mentioned, who sailed with Magellan when Magellan came to the so-called New World in 1519, when they landed at the land of Jordan, which we now call Brazil. They were met by people in canoes that carried as many as 40 people. And Antonio Pigafetta recorded that these people were jet black. It seemed that they came out of the infernal marshes. That meant that they were burnt. He said, naked and black as they are, in 1519, 27 years after Columbus's arrival to the so-called New World. Another thing that let me tell you, again, you heard my associate.
Well, I haven't read this thing before. Why don't we read them in the New York Times? It's only in news.
If I stole another man's country, and I brought your ancestors here to work for me, could I tell you how great your ancestors were and still expect to keep you enslaved?
Well, let me give you a better, I'm not better than this, but an added situation of that. Most black people in Birmingham, Alabama, like in Harlem, New York, are Christians, and they go to in a black community, a black minister, a black congregation, but with a white Jesus. Because they didn't know that Jesus, up until Pope Julius II, had the first black Jesus painted. He had Michelangelo to do it. But up until that time, the world worshipped the black Madonna and child. The Pope is going back to Poland to worship at the statue of the black Madonna and child. That's in the New York Times. But what the Times says the next day, don't worry about the black Madonna and the child. She was originally white, but there was a storm in the 16th century passed by and turned it black. But the same storm must have gone to Spain, and then it went to Ethiopia, and it went to the Soviet Union, and turned all the black Madonnas there. It was a hell of a storm.
Okay, let's get together here. I mean, we're jumping around, and I think we're going to have a beautiful, interesting hour.
Okay.
Because of this subject, I was going to get to this later, but since you opened it, let it deal with it.
Okay.
Well, you're in the Bible Belt, gentlemen.
I heard so.
You heard so. And I must tell our audience, we had dinner together earlier. We got into this a little bit, so you're going to hear some interesting things. Because you guys are taking issue with a lot of what we grew up with in the Bible as fact. And you're telling me that's not so.
You got it. It is. I brought it right here. I'll show you the picture you want to see. This is Pope Pius XII in his private chapel praying to the black Madonna and child. And all the popes of Rome, because they private, just from the church. It's the Roman Catholic Church itself. I just got rid of the copy of the History of the Black Madonna last week. I brought one copy. It's published by the Roman Catholic order of nuns called the Daughters of St. Paul. And it said that the picture of the Black Madonna child in Poland is reputed to have been painted by St. Luke. Now, St. Luke is said to have been one of Jesus' disciples. He got to know what Jesus had looked like. So if he painted a black woman and child, who am I to say that he wasn't? We saw that, however, in Anacalypso.
So now you guys are saying Jesus is black.
What he is saying
is that it has been written in history. Up until the Nicene Conference of Bishops in 325, when Rome, under the order of Constantine, the Roman Emperor, ordered the 219 bishops at Nicaea, and they took away Christianity from the Africans. Just remember that before they said Jesus was born in a manger in Bethlehem, they said he was born in a cave in Ethiopia. It was at the Nicene Conference that changed that. Let's go further.
Let me be sure I'm following you now. You're saying that the birth of Christ, as you know it, is not accurate.
It's a farce. It was only,
you know what you're saying?
A farce, a lie. You know what a lie is?
A lie is a lie.
The person who wrote that at the Nicene Conference of Bishops in 325 A.D., Constantine, the Roman Emperor, ordered a conference be held because Rome wanted to take over Christianity from the people who started it. And Christianity was started with Pontius and Blotius in a place called Alexandria in Egypt. And Egypt is in Africa. I saw it up to January the 9th and was there.
You talked about that a little bit last night in your lecture. There was a lecture last night with Dr. Simmons here on campus. You talked about the separation of people don't want us to see Egypt as part of Africa. You talked about the historical thing about blacks being in Egypt as well.
What I did last night.
I don't want to get away from the other point.
What happened is that I dealt last night with the fact that the institutions of higher learning, like institutions, consider the father of history. He himself, when he visited Egypt around 450 BC, almost half a thousand years before Christ, said that the Ethiopians, the Egyptians, the people of Colchis, which is part of present day Turkey, were people of black skin and living here. All right? And so I just want you to understand that the Egyptians we now see are conquerors, just like people who came here and took this land from the Indians. So that being that indigenous to Africa, those who now rule Egypt, and Egypt is just as much a part of Africa as Birmingham or Alabama is part of the so-called United States.
Let me just be clear on this. So what you're saying to me now is that the people that we see, Sadat and all these guys, are not true Egyptians.
Sadat's mother was a Sudanese. Nasser's mother was a Sudanese, but their fathers were Arab conquerors. The one that was the African was Mohammed Naguib, the first president of Egypt, the one that overthrew Farouk. But one year after that, Turkey was looking for a hookup with the other Nile Valley countries as it used to be in antiquity. He was removed by the Arab conquerors. The Arabs didn't come to Egypt until 640. The first non-African people came to Egypt, otherwise called the Hyksos, in 1675 BC. The Africans there were already in the second dynastic period. They had built every pyramid you saw there before. They had done the S-turn in the Nile. They built every one of the major temples that had already been built, including the Grand Lodge of Luxor. The first European to come there did not arrive until the Greeks arrived with Alexander II, the son of Philip of Macedonia.
Look, I'm a college graduate. I never heard all this stuff.
Because they didn't intend to teach you that. They can't tell you that you're inferior and teach you that you taught Egypt, Europe. The first Europeans to be civilized by the Africans were the Greeks. When you heard of Homer, the first European to have written anything, you couldn't miss that. They say that Homer wrote the Iliad and the Odyssey. And that was not until 833 BC. The Africans had already, in 255,000 at the Tassili Mountain, they had the Sibylline period, first, second, and third, the pre-dynastic period, all the way up. The Africans had produced men like this, Imhotep, the multi-genius that designed the Stephanus of Zakaria, the first man to be a physician that even Hippocrates, the so-called father of medicine, is giving him credit and calling him the god of medicine. The Greeks changed his name from Imhotep to Aesculapius. There he is. There he is.
This is different than what you're saying. So wait a minute, you guys are telling me now that black men taught Homer and
As a matter of fact, the Egyptians said Homer was Egyptian. That's right. It's only the Europeans said that. The Westerners now said he was. But let us go back. Remember that Homer himself said in the Odyssey was that the god Zeus and Apollo, Europe's first gods, came from Egypt. And go read it. And I didn't write it. He wrote it. Phallus, from Phallus down to Socrates, and Socrates down to Aristotle, which they call the pre-Socratic philosophers, the post-Socratic philosophers, each and every one, including Plato, who spent 15 years in Egypt receiving their education.
You're saying Plato was educated in Egypt?
15 years. Before all, what left my brain? Every one of them.
Which you haven't believed in, also. The part of what you said last night is that Plato and these guys went back home, and they were good guys. But they were taught in Egypt.
They came there. They came there for their education.
They said it.
They didn't lie. They came the modern writers, the modern instructors and professors who were friends of the Lord. And the modern Egyptian having a racist school in Birmingham, non-racist education.
Egypt is something you said last night that's not going to make you very popular in this town. It may not allow you to get safely out of town. You told an audience last night that you saw, I think, in a tomb in Egypt. You saw with your own two eyes, right?
Yes.
You told me that Moses, there were another Ten Commandments, Moses just took
42. There were negative confessions. One, Moses wasn't supposed to have been born until 1449 BC. The Africans were already in the 18th dynastic period. Akhenaten, who died before Moses was born, and Imhotep, who died more than 2,000 years before the birth of Moses, and others at the Grand Lodge of Nim have 42 laws calling out the negative confession, one for each known. They go like this: I have not killed man nor woman. I have not spoken ill of the gods. Moses was supposed to born in Egypt, they said, at a place called Succoth. Already, it tells us Moses got the 10 commandments of Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai is still in Africa, right? The Sinai Peninsula is a part of Egypt. More so, is it possible for Moses to be born in Egypt, educated in Egypt? At age 85, he's still in Egypt, and he did not learn the negative confessions. Is it possible for you to go to school, born in the United States, go to kindergarten, elementary, junior high school, and college, and never heard of the United States Constitution? Then it would have been impossible for Moses, when everybody had to read the negative confession 5 times a day, for Moses not to have seen those 42 laws and extracted 10 of them, leave 32 more. Now, if you could go to the temple of Setawan at Abydos, to go to the tomb of Ramesses the Sixth at the Valley of the Kings, go to the temple of Edfu, where you will, by the way, see the story of an immaculate conception and a virgin birth 4,100 years before the million Jesus story. As a matter of fact,
let me just put it in front of a question here. I mean, I don't want to stop this because we're hearing the information. But what you're trying to get me to believe is that Moses didn't get the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai, but he got them from his fellow occupants.
Moses was the high priest of Egypt. He's the high priest of the Egyptians in Egypt. Then what was he teaching? He wasn't the high priest of the Jews.
There were no Jews in those days. They called them. Remember now, there was no Israel yet. Israel is not until 1196.
And when we hear of Abraham, Abraham as he was called, coming into Egypt, the Africans are already in Egypt, already in the 14th dynastic period when he shows up. All of the pyramids are built. That's another thing. Everyone, the 62 pyramids in Egypt were built before the first Jew was born. Why was he fleeing from the soil?
Oh, yeah,
I can write anything that I want to write, you know. Well, who's going to stop me from writing if I have the power?
I was about to ask you, what kind of trouble do you get into?
Well, some without a doubt, a black sister spat in my face, and because she couldn't take that. But she couldn't take that Jesus was black. She said, no. I mean, he didn't have no color. If he didn't have no color, how John the Baptist sounded about that?
Do you realize that you're getting at the foundation? That you're shooting and digging away at the foundation of what most of us grew up believing?
Yeah, well, we believed a lot of things for a long time. One thing that you just 3 pages in the Bible. Slave obey your master. That's what we believed for the longest time. They said that Jesus said, so how would Jesus, who fought the system, said to the slave obey your master? They didn't sound rational with it. So, look, most of the things, if we're in a European system, you could come to this university and spend 4 years, go back and spend another 2 years for your master's, and another 1 or 2 for your doctorate, and never had any course at all about Africans. But every day you come here, you got courses about Europeans. This is an extension of European culture, European belief, European racism. And it has no intent of teaching about the Africans. The Africans built the Europeans' first university, the University of Salamanca in Spain. These are historical records.
One of the things you said last night is that it's not just black people who are saying these things.
Most of this information is written by white people. It's just that they don't emphasize it in the classroom. As a matter of fact, let me back you up when you open up the discourse. We were speaking multiple languages. None of them in here, none of the listening audience, even in the air, has the faintest idea that in the life of Columbus, when after his death, his family had to go to court because charges was raised, and this is in the record, in the Vatican, in the secret archives of the Vatican, that Columbus was shown a map of when Queen Sheba that the Ben spoke about, this black woman who had made it with Solomon, who produced the son, Manasseh I, and they lived more than 900 years before the birth of Jesus, had already sailed through what we now call the Strait of Gibraltar, came to land to the west, that was longer than Africa and Europe combined, and that brother is North, South, and Central America. May I add this? Right here at this university, they teach, and I've just been here 2 days, right? They're teaching this institution because it's same as Cornell and Wick, that Hippocrates was the father of medicine. He's not until 333 BC. Let me read this for you.
Okay, you teach at Cornell,
right? I teach at Cornell also.
Anybody teach this kind of stuff, Cornell?
Yes, he said, no, I'm there.
Okay.
1700 BC, that's 1400 years before Hippocrates, you can find the Cahoon medical papyrus of paper.
Okay.
A compendium of information about women's diseases and pregnancies. In 1600 BC, that's 1300 years before Hippocrates, the Edward C. Smith papyrus, a comparative surgical text and anatomical inquiry. It especially deals with the spinal column. 1550, let me drop to one here. The Edwards papyrus. There is the whole book on it. A medical paper by Queen Hatshepsut, the first long queen in history, and Egyptian queen. A papyrus designed to show women how to develop a method to stop pregnancy, to insert into the vagina, made of the shrub of acacia and honey, which breaks down to lactic acid. Not only that, Monsanto,
birth
control in 1550 BC by the Africans.
That's a long time for a pill.
A few days.
Keep in mind, however, keep in mind that Europe is not yet in history.
Europe has been in
all right, one at a time. All right, yeah. Okay.
The civilization has begun. Homer, I'm not written as alien analysis. I'm the hero.
Okay, all the stuff that you're saying, you're saying we can find them.
Nothing saying it's not here. It's either in that slavery or minus back in New York. Nothing
you take for granted.
What do you brought up?
And you're saying we're all written by black men?
Anacalypse is written book now. Okay. Anacalypse is a two-volume work by Sir Godfrey Higgins, written in 1838 in England and published by Watson Company. The Golden Bow is a 13-volume book by Sir James Springer, published simultaneously in the United States and England, and it was published in 1938. Bible Myths and the Parallels in Other Religion, written by Thomas W. Gold, and published in 1887 by Watson Company, London, England. The Rings of Empire by Concierge Bowley is published, there it is, published in 1792 by simultaneously in England and France, done by a man who was Napoleon the Bonaparte.
Let me just say this about that. If we just give you the benefit of the doubt and consider what you're saying to be true, I mean, you are chipping away at everything you've ever been taught, most of what we believe.
But you were taught about slaves. Your body
slaves in Brooklyn?
Yes. We are no longer physical slaves, but we are mental slaves. And this is the worst form of slavery. Some of us believe that the Cadillac and the house on the beach makes us free. But it's the mind that makes us free.
Well, I'm just glad I got to ask questions when I'm feeling this stuff. One is something else, man. Tell us about some of those pictures, because I know you're looking
at the
towel.
Well, this picture that you were looking at right here is the picture of Pope St. Peter. The first Pope of Roman Catholicism, as the Church admits.
Blackface,
black everything.
If you're skipping black all the way, then you're skipping fingernails and all those things.
Well, how do I know you didn't get a picture and paint a black face on?
No, that is the statue in Rome. That's the
Take
a jet. Take the fastest means and go to Rome and come back.
Right
and then tell us if it's not. That same picture. I used to teach at the
Catholic
College.
This is there now?
Yes, no. And every pope kisses a stone. They said his stones are warmed by the thousand kisses placed there. Because the book that I got it from was not that heavy. I really let you see the pope kissing Pope John the 23rd.
Who is this black guy?
St. Peter. The man that they told you, every black minister, every white minister says, Jesus gives Peter the keys to heaven, which means that no white man, nobody else could enter into heaven unless he come by way of me, the black man. But I hold the keys to heaven.
That's right. And there's no reason why Peter should not open for me. He suffered too then.
What else you got there?
Well, what I have here is some black saints. Saint Augustine, some of you say the Saint Augustine. St. John Chrysostom, St. Athanasius, and St. Ambrose. Black saints of the church. You have to remember that Christianity is called in Europe and by Europeans.
as a new religion.
Right.
It was alien to Europe. And for Constantine, the one who decided to take it, he said, I need a religion to unify my empire. With this religion, I could then conquer the world. And he himself was never a Christian until on his dying bed in the year 337, he became converted to Christianity. But then he took it to unify them.
But isn't it Augustine, in his Christian doctrine, he wrote 48 different works. The two most noted in the West is his Confessions, which he specified who he was, and then the Holy City of God, and the last was on Christian doctrines, the fundamental principles of modern Christianity. Three black women, Felicita, Perpetua, and Nymphana, were the first to die for Jesus Christ. Next, and they were from what is today called,
how do you know this?
It's in the documents of the church. And it's in the writing of the church. And was it not Pope Malthazar, the three African popes of the Roman Catholic Church, Malthazar, Victor III, and the other one?
Galatius.
We have them there. Now, in the church document. But remember, when they came a time in 1506, after we lost power in Spain, the Africans ruled Spain from 711. We were calling ourselves Moors, M-A-U-E-R-S, then M-O-O-R-S. From 711 until 1485, 774 years, when we built and brought into Europe the university system, building the University of Salamanca, S-A-L-A-M-A-N-C-A, in Spain, a copy of the University of Genève from ancient Ghana, which was equally a copy of the University of Sankore in Timbuktu, which the French later called Timbuktu. Now, look, if you want to read it, read Stanley Coles, The Moors in Spain, written in 1887, or Alejandro Macaziza. Read his book in Spanish, The Moors in Spain, and said that even the blast was introduced by those Africans.
You said the ball was introduced by...
The bad was reintroduced because Rome had a bad before. But they stopped because of not understanding the Christian doctrine that the Europeans have embraced. They stopped for over 1,000 years from taking that. Matter of fact, back right to Nick Matthew was talking to him, Victoria of England boasting of her self being the cleanest woman in all of Europe, taking one bath per month. I have books show you where people were made saints for boasting and never even washed their hands.
Saints of the church. Did you have a couple of dirt with you?
No, I didn't bring too many.
Hey, let me, because you guys are bombarding us with so much. Just tell us a little bit about who you are on a day-to-day basis.
My name is Yusuf Benyek, and I'm a teacher at Cornell University of History and Egyptology. I'm an author, former member of the United Nations, graduate with a PhD from Cambridge University of England, a PhD from the University of Barcelona in Spain. That should help. I originally was a civil engineer who turned to anthropology and history with a law degree and practiced law. Now, we had to know a little bit more to get a job. And I was born in Ethiopia and came to the Caribbean as a young fellow at age 6. My mother is a Puerto Rican, and we lived and grew up in Puerto Rico and Bosnia. My father was a barrister. And I, as I said, worked with the United Nations and then finally started teaching at Columbia University and other places. Got fired a number of times, of course.
I would imagine so.
Yes, with this kind of thing. I didn't want, and with the documents in my hand. When I exposed that planting was nothing new.
Okay.
That it was done in Africa as early as 1550. I was fired on the spot by Professor Ralph Milton. But now 10 years later, the American Medical Association published the Ebers Papyrus, the same thing I got fired for.
So I want to go back to something in one of your books. I mean, just tell us, our audience at home and city audience, a little bit about yourself, Dr.
No, I'm not as faulty as Dr. Ben. Dr. Ben is the intellectual. So I like to be the other extreme. I like to say that my college is that of hard knocks. And I use myself as the example as to how high a black man could come from motherhood. Motherhood in the sense that it is said that blacks are not intelligent. And so that what we do is complement each other. He being the extreme with all the dreams, and I will remain the little fellow in the street. However, the little fellow in the street has taught at some of the best colleges and taught the professors so they could teach you. I've taught at Marist College. I've lectured to Yale. I've lectured to most of the best institutions. I just went to do a week seminar in the state of Washington to educate some professors how to teach in teaching and teaching logic. I think what happened, like some people say, well, some love don't do them and get the thing. I said, no, at my age, I'm not looking for prestige, but my turn will. And since there's a thing that black people are dumb, I like to sit back being dumb and just waste the intellectual other folks away.
But he's being very modest.
I'm looking for that.
He's my associate in my office. And yes, I'm at Malcolm King College and was the chairman of the Department of History in middle school, so he's being modest.
Let's get back to some of this. Let me see that for a moment. Let's get back to some of the stuff you were talking about last night. You were talking about at dinner. You guys just took on the Bible.
In many Bibles, you've got about 3,000 versions. And the one that most people will believe in is the King James Version. And when a version is not a fact, a version is something like the original. And James commissioned 47 men under Sir Francis Bacon. He pulled them from Cambridge University, Oxford University, University of Eton, and University of Scotland at Glasgow. Those 47 men wrote God's words.
You know, they're very popular in this area.
Remember me.
This quote from one of your books, and this will be available to our studio audience, and we'll talk about this a little bit after we get off the air. And I'm not even sure I should read this. This is in the Bible.
It's not the Bible. Read what was in Genesis up until the 6th century. It is still in the Book of Mormon. That's the people who saw it at sea, which many blacks have joined because they're joining the people of the open membership. It is still in the Calvinist teaching in South Africa, and read what was in the Bible
okay.
up until the 6th century.
So you're saying that this is still in the Mormon Bible?
It's still in the Mormon Bible. It is still in the Calvinist Bible. And look at the bottom where the Roman Catholic Church had it, and they're now making it still that they were sorry that it was ever in there, but nevertheless it was.
Let me just share this with our audience here and our audience at home. And this is from one of Dr. Ben's books.
And from all the books, it's on page 121 in that book.
Let me just share a little bit of it here, because I want to get some reaction from you, and it's something for folks to think about. And you say this is from the Bible. Therefore, it must be Canaan, your firstborn, whom they enslaved. And I'm starting in kind of a little bit, because there's a lot of it here. And since you have disabled me, when ugly things and blackness of night, Canaan's children shall be born ugly and black. Moreover, because you twisted your head around to see my nakedness, your grandchildren's hair shall be twisted into kinks and their eyes red. Again, because your lips jested at my misfortune, theirs shall swell. And because you neglected my nakedness, they shall go naked. And the rest of this stuff is underlined, and this is a quote from the book, Bible, you say. And their male members shall be shamefully elongated. Men of this race are called Negroes. Their forefather Canaan commanded them to love theft and fornication, to be banded together in hatred of their masters, and never to tell the truth.
That's right. It was in the Judeo-Christian Bible until the 6th century of the Christian era, also called A.D., Antedominal. And some black ministers refer to it. Just a few weeks ago in New York, I was listening to my radio, one of these religious programs sponsored by a liquor store. And it says, the minister says that these young blacks are acting up. We shouldn't act up anyhow because when we die and go to heaven, we're going to be right anyhow. So we say anything.
We must remember that we did not know that Christianity came from Egypt, Egypt, and that the first monastery was on the island of Sinai, which is still there now, and that the Christianity went into Ethiopia and all of North Africa, where they had 17 churches and 27 bishops before the first one in Greece or Rome. We knew nothing about that. We didn't know. Up to now, you've got black people sending missionaries to Africa, not knowing that the Coptic church is older than the Roman church. We still send missionaries. We still tell lies about Africans eating the missionaries. I wish we didn't eat the missionaries, then we would have had no problem. But we still got that. We still got roots. People thinking that roots has something to do with history when the man says a mother. People naming their children Kente Conte and Conte Kente and all kind of thing now.
You take issue with that?
It's garbage. It has nothing to do with history. It's a novel. It was an Andy that's the most popular radio show. And it has nothing to do with black people. They're too like Jews.
Yeah.
You know, there's actually the worst part of us enslaved is not the shackle on the human. It's the shackle on the mind. What we have been conditioned. What we know is that the master, slave master, doesn't train his slave to be free. We once used to train ourselves when we had such things as the African Methodist Episcopal Church, the African Baptist Church, the African newspaper. Frederick Douglass, Natona, the Mavisi, and all these different people had churches where they taught the people their own history. Look, go into our churches and find out, do they sing the spirituals anymore? No. They got anthems from Scotland, from Germany. They don't sing the songs of the African people anymore in the churches. How does a song from Europe, from Scotland, relate to you? You Scottish?
You can fool me.
But you see, this is the whole thing.
Suppose that we just, not all of it, just suppose we didn't tap on what you said here tonight. What difference is it going to make?
Quite a lot of difference, the behavior of the child. If you tell a child that all his ancestors and all his people before him ever was, and you prove it to him by not showing him anything that his people did, why would he feel good? When you got busing now, everybody was fighting for busing. So the bus goes, show me one bus bringing one white kid from a white neighborhood into a black neighborhood to study. All the buses go from the black neighborhood to the white neighborhood. Show me a class in music appreciation where they show you African music. It is European music alone. Now, it has an impact on the child. The problem that we are facing is that, in the church tomorrow, there's going to be a church, and every one of the black churches got a white Jesus. Go into a Chinese church and see if you want to Jesus got slit eye like a Chinese. Go to everybody, not us. Religion is the deification of a culture. And the gods look like the people talking about it. And the angels. Here you got Jesus. December the 25th. Coming. You're going to see this. And before, Jesus walked with swaddling bands. It's solid. No. We're in the desert now. It's 110 degrees minimum Fahrenheit. We're in the desert, and the child is wrapped in swaddling bands. What mother's going to wrap her child in a wool blanket in the desert? Look, let's go further. And on the roof of the main that there is snow. If you give your daughter an icicle and then tell her, take it back and put it in the oven with 110 degrees Fahrenheit and go back to expect to find an icicle, you will find running hot water. But that image is in our head. This is a European version that was painted by Michelangelo for Pope Julius II in 1509 in the Sistine Chapel. He finished in 1511. An image, one picture that says worth 1,000 words. Now you have three wise men in the middle of the desert. One is from Africa. One is not the same. How does this stuff? Moses born in Egypt, and they showed him the book. He was born in Africa. Another one. The angel of the Lord come to Mary and said to Mary, child the little boy and hide him among his cousins in Egypt because Herod wants to kill him, right? She comes and takes this child to Africa. Egypt is in Africa. Hide him among his cousins.
His young, his boy, and got golden hair. And he's sitting among a bunch of black kids. The army came, the navy came, everybody searched every house and can't find that boy.
Right. Time's moving on. And there's so much here. Okay, let me just throw this at you. I'm sure you've offended a lot of people's religion. There are those who say that, let's say, oh, sure, I'm thinking, or sure, I'm sure they're thinking. So what you're saying is just a lot of racist garbage.
Well, maybe what I would say, I'm worse racist. They don't allow us to be plain racist. We have to be different. We're the reverse kind. No. People will say anything, and even black people will say, we will control our mind, our thinking. The point is this, that the person said, I've never read anything hardly. Let us go into the theologian library and see the amount of books they have. How many of these people have gone and traveled? You see, what I'm saying, there is no major university and major library in Europe I have never been to. There is no major library in Asia or Africa I have never been to. I have been to every one of the major tombs and temples of Egypt and got the pictures and read the hieroglyphs and everything like that.
He didn't say you discovered England.
I discovered England when I was there. The first time I went to England, I discovered it. I was in the middle of London walking around, doing like this, looking around, and the bobby, that's the policeman, he came and he says, what you doing? I said, I'm discovering England. He said, you must be daft. You know, that means crazy in English. And England has always been here. I said, what I'm doing with Columbus, I just came here. I'm the first of my people to come, so I got to discover it. They discover everything that they came to, isn't it? They discover the source of the Nile, where the Africans brought them from the source of the Nile. Africans, they're having a nice bath, naked. Naked, we were bathing very naked, because what we got to hide? We're naked.
But you're playing with Africans in Brazil. The fact that they're and then the brazil as a string for the purpose of keeping the breast from jumping up and down. I mean, you know, kids, it causes young men to burn when you see that. But the thing is, although listening to Dr. Ben speaking about the European discovery, I thought about going to the moon, that the Europeans have not changed. Up to today, he still operates that way. Wherever he goes, the first thing he does is plant his flag. When the United States sent land to the moon. They didn't care for the moon people up there. The first thing they did is cook the flag. This belongs to us and the Bible.
I'm ready to kill for it.
Okay, putting aside charges of reverse racism, you guys are shoving up the beliefs of a lot of black folks. I mean, you didn't. You shook up some people when you said that talked about black preachers.
Yeah, but let me just ask you this. I mean, let's just say this. People believe, unfortunately, most black people here believe that the only religion black people have had was Christianity or Judaism or Islam. They forget that the first known religion was the worship of Ptah, P-T-A-H, along the Nile. There was no Adam and Eve mentioned any place yet because there was no Judaism, and if there's no Judaism, there's no book of Genesis.
But you went so far as to say that the virgin birth, Adam and Eve, Noah,
were all repetition, and they could read the works of
their myths.
They're myths. All of them are myths. Religion is based upon belief.
There are people who bet their lives.
There are people who are dying to go into cemeteries. But that doesn't make things stop. The way we were taught as if there was no other religion but Judaism, Christianity, or Islam. They were religions, and our religion way older than Judaism and Christianity. And the religion of the worship of Olodumare, for example, among the Yoruba, is more than 2,000 years older than Christianity.
Let me give you this time. I see time is picking up on us. When you're sitting around the dinner table, some students and people, and then questions in the book, well, what are you saying? You guys do not believe in God or something.
I am married to an ex-nun, an ex-Roman Catholic nun. I drive her to 25 years we've been married a few days ago, and I drive her to to church on occasion, I'll go in and listen. I go to the mosque. I go to the Buddhist temple. I go to anybody's religion because religion is a belief. Nobody has it. Now, you ask if I am believe in God, you must first expose me because I met the guy that robbed my house, believed in God. He had a big cross on his chest when they called him and down in the prison. He believed that he's stopping from robbing my house. Believing in God won't make you good or bad. The people of Scotland believe in God. The one thing that they said that they have established a religion to protect the name of Jesus. So it's a the whole philosophy. But most of the people in the Bible doubt will cut your throat for being black. Did the Bible stop them from being racist? No. That doesn't mean a thing because you believe. You believe in your behavior to different things. And people ask, you believe in God, you don't believe in God. So what that means? That means I won't cut your throat.
Okay, but you said earlier that if we start paying black preachers more money,
the church will close. How many of them come in to do volunteer work? It's a business. There's a salary people get out of it, whether it's Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, or what?
Christianity and religion is a business.
Big business. Big business is bigger than ICLT.
You get all kinds of breaks, tax breaks, and all kinds of privileges when you're in the business.
The salary is paid. You think the person would be there if you didn't get a big salary? You'd get a big salary of all. Do you think, no, let's face it, how many ministers you know do it for free? Just tell me.
Okay, let's just move
this. If you don't pay your 10% tithe, it'll see how, if you're going to get buried. Maybe your pastor and may come to the undertaker parlor and say, you want them not coming to the cemetery. You sing in the choir all you want and go get married and see if you have to pay.
What do we learn from all this? How will it change our lives? Or how will it change our lives in a better
opinion? No, I am not against anyone believing in a God system. To the contrary, I do believe in a God system. It's system. But what I'm against is that for African people, and by the way, you're Africans, you know, I'm sure you not knew that, but just remember, if you get a rabbit and put it in a hobby, and the next thing you do, then they have new little ones, you know, call them midgets. And if Africans come to America and got new babies, they're Africans. Okay, I know you're doing like that when you look in America because you can't prove you're an African. But anyhow, I have no objection at all. My children, I have a daughter who's a Jehovah's Witness. I have.
Is that bothering?
No, it doesn't bother me because I train my children. And I know what they believe and don't believe. And in fact, of what being a Jehovah's Witness, when problems fight, it's Big Daddy they're coming to. I know that. And my daughter was trained to be intelligent, that you don't pray to stop being pregnant. You have to do something about that. You got to go either to the drug store or join the congregation. You pray all you want. If you have been a man, the prayer will stop the pregnancy. You said the drug control will. Okay, the prayer will help. Now, that's the reality. I'm not going to tell my daughter, no, believe in God. If you've got a man, pray, and the boy will make you pray.
Okay, but I'm just giving a specific example. People who may be physically ill would not go to the doctor. I'm thinking of one particular instance that I know of.
Right.
They would not go to the doctor because she said she'd never be in church.
She was nice to me. I will not want a minister when I get hit by a car. I want a specialist in room.
Well, let me take you for a moment. Let me say that. If you use myself as an example, I was bleeding to death. I was going to die. I was using blood faster than the doctors could give. And I said, we must operate. And there comes a priest to say something with me, whatever it is. I said, I don't need it. I want a doctor.
That's wrong. That's intelligent. He's standing in the way of the doctor. He says he's working me. It doesn't mean that he doesn't believe in God. It means that he's intelligent. This guy on the priest wants the same doctor. If the priest had an accident and the doctor comes up and another priest comes up, and when he looks and he has a ruptured aorta or something like that, you think he's going to tell the guy, pray, man, I need that, and tell the doctor, go to the doctor, send me to the hospital. When you go to the hospital, how many ministers do you see lying up there getting treated? Because they're that sense. You know what I mean? It isn't a religious godly for me to say, I got a broken, I fell down and broke my leg. Can you say, Father, straighten it out? You know what the Bible says? I will help those who themselves.
Well, then it's designed to be used for negative and positive. It's got all kind of negative and positive. It's a whole thing, your interpretation of it. You go to 15 Baptist churches, you get 15 Baptist. Why tell me now, it's religion, that you got one block 200 feet long and got six Baptist churches in there? Same Baptist denomination. Tell me, why, if you're a Christian, why you need a Methodist, a Baptist, a Presbyterian, a Catholic, and it's the same Jesus?
Yeah.
Money. Big business. Everybody wants to run their thing. If I get 10% from you, 10% from the next guy, 10% of $70,000 a year is good. I mean, I could get a few cars behind that. And a nice home and a nice wife with a mink coat. And you see some people taking the last dollar and giving it to the church. And they come and ask me for my dollar.
Well, the reason is because I've been informed that we have about, well, I guess, less than 5 minutes, maybe 3 minutes. We've covered a lot of subjects, got a lot of questions. And I guess in this, maybe a minute summary, each of you, I mean, we read about this stuff only once a month, Black History Month.
Mm-hmm.
And we go back for the other 11, living our lives, being provided with other kinds of information. What can we take from here? What can we do with it? How can we help us? I mean, that's a multifaceted question. If you can, let me start with you, Zach.
And what I would say is that I would advise anyone to start researching on their own, because I don't know of any school that educates. I've been trying to find a school that doesn't. And all of them, as far as I find out, all of these trained people to be a bunch of regurgitators. So I say to my students that you have to go out and take that training that you receive and then make it work for the benefit of yourself and your people, and then you show me that you are one who now happens to be an educated individual. So you have to keep moving and you benefit your people in the long run.
Is there any value to what we've been doing for the last hour?
Yes, because now we have brought a tremendous amount of new information, hopefully, to light, and other people will start trying to check us out, and then they too will become enlightened. We hope that they do try to prove us wrong.
But you're probably also offended a lot for.
Well, look, new knowledge does. If someone tells you that your girlfriend that you love so well is a prostitute, and you don't receive a prostitution, they shock him. And if you catch her, you can't believe that you are going to tell the guy to tell you. So I'm not surprised at the verdict. Because when you start to change or deal with people's belief patterns that they have held on to, dealing to, and many of them offer to fight, give up their lives for their belief, only to find that the belief is untrue.
Okay, we just have a minute left, and I know that's not a lot of time, but final statement on your part, Dr. Burns.
Glory is truth, they said, and truth is a constant effort of research. There is no limit to truth, and one must look constantly to find truth. I traveled this entire world. I didn't sit one spot and read one book. I went to thousands of libraries over the age I'm 64. And I've been, from 1938, I have been doing research in the area of African people.
Are you making any progress, making any difference in people's lives?
Progress is a relative thing. It all depends on what you're equating from what point to where.
Okay, let me get 2 seconds. Yes?
No, we have made any progress if you look at percentage-wise. We, on the college campus here now, professors, let's say, we got 5 professors and 1,000 students. One time, we had no professor in 100 students. I think it doesn't make any difference because it's not less now.
Okay, we're out of time, and we want to thank those of you at home and those here in the studio. If you'll stick around, we'll talk a little bit more. But we hope you found something very interesting. Anyway, I know you've got...
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's brought to a conclusion. You've been listening to Getting It Done, and I've actually have not been able to host anything more than what I said at the very beginning of the show. But that presentation was done in 1987, a long time ago, and we're still dealing with lies and all kinds of equivocal thoughts that are unknown. And here we are, we had two outstanding professors at that time, one who's still alive, and that was back in 1987, about African origin. So we're going to continue on Friday with the music, if it's good. If not, we're going to go on to some discussions like you heard today. Hopefully you've learned something from this presentation, and it's been my pleasure to allow it to happen. You've been listening to Getting It Done, and I have been the pleasure of doing your hosting for the show. I am Dr. Walter Dean. Have a good week. Bye.